Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
And they're off. Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
And you're very welcome along to Friday Night Racing here on Off the Ball. John Duggan with you to talk about the sport of kings, with plenty of action at Gore Park, Tipperary and Longchamp this weekend. Joined in studio as always by our racing guru, Johnny Ward. Johnny, how are you?
I'm very well, John. The hurricane obviously came yesterday and wasn't as bad as we thought. Hopefully racing will be, actually Clonmel was grand and I think we'll be grand for the weekend.
And the Arc at Longchamp, big weekend here for flat racing in Europe, the European Flat Championship as I would call it. Mm. You've been before, I haven't.
I've been to Longchamp two or three times. I've also been to Shanty, which you haven't, but you have a Shanty reference.
Well, it's funny, my birthday is generally around this time of year, and I was 40 last
year. It's always around this time of year.
It is, yeah, well, yeah, that'd be good. I don't kind of change birthdays midway through the year. So my 40th was last year. I'm kind of getting old now, and I went to the Dorchester for the crack, for the nonsense of it. Mm. I've never been to Shanty racing, but I did have a rum baba dessert. Now, a rum baba, folks, if you've never heard of it, is a cake where they lace it with rum and Shanty cream. Ah. So the Shanty cream was put on the cake. But the nonsense of the whole thing, the reason why I really went to this place is because they bring out six rums, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, some all these kind of places in kind of Central and South America to put on your rum, and you choose one to put on your rum. Mm.
Do you like your rum?
I'm not really a rum guy, but just the BS of it.
What did that cost?
I didn't pay, John. Right. My sister, who's a very rich banker, and my nephew, we all went to the it was a family affair. And I said, what do you want? I kind of want to go to a 3-star restaurant for the crack and see what this experience is like.
You have a very rich banker sister.
I do, yeah. And a rich palate.
Yeah, yeah. I have the latter, if not the former.
Longchamp, what is it like?
I have to admit now, I haven't been there since they've done it up.
Right.
So I remember the old Longchamp. Yeah, it was a lovely race course. Shanty was really, I really like Shanty, but they say that Deauville is the next step above in terms of just its location and all that. There was a piece in the Racing Post on Thursday about the paucity of good French horses coming through, and whether or not there's something of a crisis in French racing. I didn't actually get a chance to read it, but the basic point it was making was that there aren't many good horses coming through, and will French racing face a little bit of a struggle? It struggles to get people going racing, which is not unlike many jurisdictions. I think in Ireland we're quite lucky that generally our racing attendances are good, and ditto in Britain. But French racing would struggle in that regard. And apart from Sunday, there isn't really well-attended meetings per se.
Have you been to Autai?
No.
Okay.
And that's again quite strongly recommended by a few friends of mine who've been over there for the sales as well. And obviously Willie Mullins has rated it so successfully that it's something that I think actually British trainers should look to go there more often because of the exchange rate. There's great prize money in France, fantastic prize money. You go over there, probably not much longer than it would take you to go to a track at the other end of the country in Britain. And with the near parity of the sterling versus the euro now, it makes a lot of sense.
Would you tell us about the kind of the good and the things you'd miss? So the good things about Longchamp and the things that you miss that you see in Ireland as an experience for a race goer.
French women, for a start, yeah. It's a bit different as well, because like the Arc Day is like it is a social occasion, so you find it's quite expensive, so you tend to buy bottles of champagne and share it among yourselves. It's like one of the more cost effective ways of enjoying the day. Probably a better atmosphere, and unbelievably good racing, like so many great Group 1 races. And when I first went to Longchamp, it was €6 on Arc Day, which is amazing value.
It's nothing.
Nothing. It's kind of the location, it's like on the outskirts of Paris. But it's actually a great weekend for the crack. If you go over, there's a surprising amount of Irish people there for a country that doesn't really support the flat maybe as much as the jumps. A lot of people do go to Paris and they enjoy themselves. They end up in the James Joyce, they end up in the Moulin Rouge district drinking. That's all they do there. But there's lots of fun to be had. And the French really embrace you when you go over.
We're joined on the line by our special guest this week. It's Kevin O'Ryan, broadcaster, jockey's agent, legend of the turf. Kevin, how are you?
Very good, John, and you?
Not too bad, thanks, Kevin. Have you been to Longchamp?
I have. The year Workforce won the Arc, and I think Wooden Bassett won the Jean-Luc Lagardère on the same day. My one and only time there, but it was a wonderful weekend, and look forward to going back at some time when time allows me.
What kind of stood out for you? What impressed you about it?
How expensive it was.
Well, Kevin, it was grand. It used to be €6 win, but apart from that, obviously, the day out is quite expensive.
Yeah, but look, we went on the Friday and spent the weekend in Paris, so you can just imagine now. The credit card bill is quite high when we came back, lads, but it was wonderful, and I reiterate what you said there, Johnny. The amount of Irish people you meet there, it's like going to the Curragh or Leperstown. You meet actually more Irish and English people than you would see French people there. But it's a wonderful occasion, and look, I've never been to the new Longchamp, but the old Longchamp was just so unique and created a great atmosphere there, and it was a wonderful weekend. You know what, there's 6-7 Group 1s on the card. I'd recommend it to anybody, to be fair. Go to Paris for the weekend, bring plenty of money with you, and go to the Arc on Sunday.
You might as well talk about it, Gigan. Might as well talk about the race. It's 3:05 on Sunday at Longchamp, Kevin and Johnny. So Enable, bidding to make history to win the race for the third time, has never happened before. Alleged 1978, the last horse to go back-to-back. Enable has won a Shanty, has won a Longchamp, is the odds-on favourite. Frankie Dettori for John Gosden, 13 wins out of 14 races. The going is soft. 12 horses, she's in stall 9. 55 runnings of the race. The only horse to win from stall 9 was Urban Sea back in 1993. I'm looking at the opposition here, Japan, a magical for Aidan O'Brien. Japan, Kevin, what do you think of him?
Look, it was a good performance in the Judgment at York, but the form was obviously let down by Mark Johnson's horse running well below average, well below par. That wasn't his true run. You could say he was a shade unlucky that day in the Judgment, but Japan was the better horse. I just don't think... I don't think the Mark Johnson horse, I think he just wasn't quick enough, and that's why he got himself into a pocket that day. His name is Gael Larson.
Son of Attraction, yeah.
In the Irish Champion Stakes, the Kipco Irish Champion Stakes. But I think he needs to improve a bit to beat Enable. I think she'd be very hard to beat. The history books are there to be rewritten. And she looks as good this year as she's ever done. I think now at this stage, she's gone so switched off in her races, lads, that she just does the bare minimum. As we saw when Frankie won in her early on in the season, he was just going through the motions at Ascot that day. She's loads up her sleeve. I just think as she's getting a little bit older, she's getting a bit more relaxed in her races and just does the bare minimum. But I think she'd be very hard to beat. It'll be a great result for racing if she wins. And brilliant for Judman Farms, John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. Imagine the reception he's going to get in France in Longchamp if he wins the Arc and Enable.
You remember, Kevin, the French filly going back to win it for the third time.
Trev.
So I was there that day when she failed in her third attempt, and you did kind of feel, I remember thinking at the time, you know, just taking a sharp price in a horse in a race is as difficult as that. I can't see any reason really why she shouldn't win, except for the fact that she was very fresh in the race last year, just got home. I think the best filly finished second last year. And what I thought was interesting, JD, was that after Magical won the Champion Stakes, in which Larkham bombed, Aidan O'Brien was very quick to start kind of piecing through the clashes that they've had and kind of exonerating Magical for being beaten by Enable every time. He said when they clashed in the Breeders' Cup, there's only 2 parts of a length between them. When they clashed earlier on this season, there's only 2 parts of a length between them. And he said after that, then we had basically excuses for our runs. When she ran in the race last year, it was her first shot in a mile and a half, and she ran a perfectly good race. I think she'll go very close. I think she could get close to Enable. She's 12-1 and Enable is 4-5.
So Donica will ride Magical, and Ryan Moore will ride Japan. Johnny and Kevin, are you a Magical fan? Kevin, are you in the Magical camp like Johnny is?
I am. It's an each way bet. I don't think she'll beat Enable, and I agree with a lot of your points, Johnny. But remember last year, Enable had a very interrupted prep. She only had 2 runs. That was only her second run of the season, and she had Kempton. She had her prep run in.
Yeah.
It was Kempton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was an unbelievable training performance by John Gosden. to have her spot on after an interrupted campaign. She had a piece of work basically around Kempton, and you often find that a horse first or second run of the season, they can be a bit gassy and a bit fresh. It's testament to her victory last year after that interrupted campaign, only having her second start of the season. It was a non-event the first day she ran. She'd do more work going up to Warren Hill and Newmarket of a morning than what she would have done that night in Kempton. And it's just all kudos to what she's done last year. She's had a trouble-free campaign this season. Very hard to knock, impossible to knock. If I was to have an each way bet, magical for me. I was looking at it last night. She was, 16-1, I think. And I thought, God, you're a bit big now, bigger than you deserve to be. I wouldn't back Enable at that short a price. I'd never back a horse at that short a price. I'd always be looking for a little bit of value. And I think magical each way bet at that price is a bet to nothing.
When See the Stars won the race, I was there that day, John.
Oh, you were at that one?
I was at that one. I was there for Zarkava. I was there for See the Stars. I was there for some good renewals. He was very, very lit up. And it's just, like, there's nothing to say Enable is going to be like she was last year necessarily. As Kevin said, it's a different prep, but just, you want to be wary of backing a filly at odds on in a race as good as the Ark, because kind of things do need to not go wrong in a sense. And I think Magical is so reliable. And also, Kevin, I doubt that the difference in terms of how Ryan Moore views Japan versus Magical and how Aidan views Japan versus Magical is as pronounced as their price difference, if that makes sense. I doubt as much at all between them in the pecking order.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. I would agree with you. To me, I think the better of the two of them. I know it's very hard to compare a filly to a colt. This is the first time, obviously, they're going to meet. But to me, Magical is a better horse than Japan. He's obviously a very good horse. Japan takes a good horse to win the Judmont every year. But I just think Magical just might have that little bit more class to them. But I don't think they'll have enough class to beat Enable.
So the other entries in the race, French King, we've got Waldgeist, Gaias, Kizeki, Blast One Piece, Fiermont, Nagano Gold, Soft Light, and Sass, who's the course and distance winner, the French Derby winner. Kevin O'Ryan, with the Gough sales this week, the Orby sale. I was there last year. It was a fascinating experience. Like, people go to the races sometimes, don't see what goes on behind the scenes in terms of the breeding operation. A bidding war this week between MV Magnier and Godolphin for a Galileo filly out of Green Room for €3 million. The horse is bred by Vimal and Gillian Kozla. That was something else. Like, it's the second year in a row why the Phoenix Turbreds had one for $3 million last year. Big business. And I was there last year, and the hush that goes up when you have a really big bid between rival bidders for a horse is something to behold.
It's amazing, John, and I'm glad you came and saw it last year, because you'd love to see more people come in and have a look. It's actually very easy to get into Goffs. Anybody can walk into Goffs and have a look, and it just really brings you behind the scenes, and this is where it all starts off. This is where the future champions come from, please God, and the money that's generated here. Like, over the last 2 weeks of the two yearling sales in Ireland, both at the Pattersalls Ireland yearling sales and the Goffs Orby sale and Sportsman sale, which continues on until tomorrow, $65 million will probably be turned over in those 2 weeks. There's over, last year it was $161 million. Over $161 million was generated in turnover from all the thoroughbred breeding sales in a full year. It's unbelievable the amount of money that's turned over. There was over 32 international buyers from all around the world that were here in Goffs this week. There was four horses made over $1 million, one made $3 million. And it all happens in Irish Thoroughbred Marketing in conjunction with the sales companies. They will do over 120 international trips throughout the year. Charlie O'Neill, Chief Executive, and his team, Jeremy Green and Alex Cairns, David Byrne, they go all throughout the world. From the 1st of January till the end of December, they are working constantly to promote all aspects of the Irish thoroughbred industry. There was buyers here this week from Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Pakistan and Uzbekistan. For the first time ever, they've been to Ireland to buy horses. And that's just testament of how important the Irish thoroughbred industry is and the Irish thoroughbred to everybody out foreign. We produce the best horses, the best jockeys, the best trainers, and that's why so many international buyers come to the yearling sales and all of the thoroughbred breeding sales throughout the sales season.
You didn't get a leg of anything, Kevin, did you?
No, I didn't. I got plenty to break, all right, from different clients that we break horses for in pre-train. But it's wonderful to see. And, over the last, 2 weeks, over 1,000 hotel rooms have been booked out between Fairy House and between the locality here in Goss. Over 1,000 hotel rooms is phenomenal. This goes on during the week as well. Restaurants take on extra staff. They benefit into the local economy, the money that's generated from these sales companies. And also, taxi drivers, restaurants, hotels, it's all money is generated back into the local economy. And that just helps to sustain, over 28,000 jobs in rural Ireland in a very, very important industry. It's one of the only things in the world that Irish people are world leaders in, and that is the Irish thoroughbred breeding industry. It's not a sport, it's a massive industry which generates so much money and turnover every year. And remember, everybody in this game is paying tax, so it's creating a lot of money for the government, for the exchequer through tax returns as well.
I think that's a very important point as well. The government support for racing has been really consistent and pronounced, maybe since the Charlie McCreevy days, be it Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil in government. And I think some of the left-wing parties would have question marks as to how the government, how much money the government spends on racing. But racing is so vibrant in rural communities. If you go down to Joseph O'Brien's, you go down to Willie Mullins, they're based, down in kind of rural southeast Ireland. If you go to various parts of Meath, and we know, we've seen from various stories lately how rural Ireland is under so much duress. There isn't much going on in these areas apart from horses, and all the staff that work in Willie Mullins, all the staff that work in Joseph's, they're all buying their food locally. The trainer himself is spending money locally on various things. And in terms of the fabric of rural Ireland, in terms of supporting an industry, what the government has done for Irish racing has, I think they've reaped the dividend time and time again. And it's absolutely is an industry. There are other sports that will hopefully become industries in Ireland. For example, I'd love to see the League of Ireland become an industry. But if we're ever run as well as racing is run, we'll be very happy with that.
Well, Johnny, I couldn't agree more with you. And obviously, my connection with Joseph O'Brien and that. But I'd say Joseph O'Brien has over 100 people employed in rural Ireland. And there's different shops opening back up again because obviously the need is there for them. And I've been down there quite a bit and driving around. You see different shops opening up and businesses are back booming again. A couple of local restaurants, a couple of local pubs as well, because they've had an influx of over 100 people that weren't there up until a couple of years ago. And it's creating employment, bringing people out of Carrick and Shore. You've got loads of people have moved into the area with families as well. And they're all spending. You see what Jim Bulger implies, Willie Mullins implies, Gordon Elliott implies, all the big stud farms, Coolmore down in Tipperary. For an industry to generate over 160 million in just thoroughbred sales a year, most of these horses that are sold in the thoroughbred sales here in Ireland, Goss and Fairy House, they're sold from Irish vendors. So most of that 160 million of a turnover has been taxed. It's been taxed, and that tax has been paid in an Irish jurisdiction. So we generate unbelievable amount of tax to the Irish Exchequer, and I think that's something that should be advertised. This is not a sport, this is a massive, massive industry, and it's vitally important to Ireland, the culture, the heritage, the history, everything about it. And rural Ireland, if you try and find another industry that employs nearly 30,000 people in rural Ireland, come back to me and tell me who they are.
Just on that very briefly, John, yeah. Sorry. In terms of Irish horsemen down the years, from Vincent O'Brien to, the modern greats like Pat Smullen, there are virtually no American jockeys left because the weights have gotten so low for the average American. So they're obviously the great Latin American jockeys of today. Pound for pound, in terms of British jockeys versus Irish, we'd wipe the floor with them. Basically the same anywhere else. We are absolutely world leaders in racing in terms of men and equine prowess, and that's something we should never let go, because we punch above our weight maybe in boxing and golf, but apart from that, nothing compares to racing in terms of our standing in the world.
Well, I'd agree with that, and I think that, like, even go back to Vincent O'Brien, and, you know, he kind of came out of nowhere, really, in the early part of the 20th century. He had three Grand National winners in a row with different horses. Like, he was the man who really kind of brought the Irishness to Cheltenham. Then won, what, six derbies. There's a really good book on Vincent, which his late wife Jacqueline was involved in, which is worth a read if anybody wants the history of it. Then you got John Magnier, his son-in-law, set up Coolmore. Aidan O'Brien has carried that torch, winning Melbourne Cups. All the Group 1 wins around the world. We should be so proud of it. It's not we're not cheerleading here on Friday Night Racing. We're saying that we should be proud of an industry, and we need to also remind ourselves of where all, you know, the business goes. You know, the business goes into golfs and all that kind of thing. It's not always just about the racetrack. Just, Kevin, just before I come to the next thing, we just want to remind you as well that, like, this week, Friday Night Racing, we're very proud to say we're brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. We are delighted to announce that HRI's be the title sponsor of the show for another 2 years going to 2021. So love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie, follow the new Twitter account at HRI Racing and hashtag every racing moment. We were speaking there with Johnny about Pat Smullen. Obviously, you're related to him, Kevin. Your wife is sister to his wife, Frances. An emotional day for you with the Kerr recently.
Very much so. Again, going back to our industry, it's so competitive. There's so much money at stake. But when somebody is in need in our industry, it's best to rally around and get something done. The generosity of people has been just second to none. I know Pat and everybody involved at the Cancer Research Trials Ireland team, the medical team that are looking after Pat and all, have been totally overwhelmed by, one, the money that's been raised, secondly, the generosity of people, and just not from, like, obviously, Sheikh Hamdan, Al Maktoum, generated an unbelievable amount of money, donated an unbelievable amount of money, Ava Hafner, Mike Lair, Stud Farm, from the biggest people in the game to the smallest people in the game. Everybody put their hand in their pocket. Everybody tried to do something different and tried to get involved in it. Like, there's over 2.5 million already raised, and it's still counting.
And the crucial point, Kevin, is that money's not going into racing. That money is going into trying to cure, cancer. And in terms of the pancreatic cancer research, that money will do a world of good because it will eliminate various other means of looking into how to cure the cancer. Mm-hmm. And that racing could give something back to the world in terms of the illness that I suppose affects us all in some shape or form. We should be very proud of that.
Without doubt, and it goes exactly as you said, Johnny, straight into pancreatic research. Nothing else, pancreatic research. Some of the people from Cancer Trials Ireland were there that night. Great night we had in the Shelburne, the champions' dinner, and they were overwhelmed by the whole thing. They said to a few people, I don't think anybody actually realises the magnitude of the money that's been raised, what this is going to do. It's a game changer. It's going to benefit everybody in Ireland. People who have never had an interest in racing before. What's been generated out of the racing industry for this unbelievable cause is, please God, going to help everybody, man, woman, child, that's in Ireland. And that is just testament to our industry. It was a wonderful day. The crowds were there. As I said on Racing TV when we finished that night, the Curragh was officially open that day. The atmosphere, the buzz, the crowd, people who'd never been to the Curragh before, they were all there. Pat Keown and his team done a wonderful job.
You are
job
spot on. You are so spot on, Kevin, because there's been this criticism of the Curragh, which a lot of it, to be honest, is 24/7 talk, that people can never just calm down and let something just settle in. The grandstand settling.
And
we live in this 24/7 world. People can't let things settle down and settle in. Just give the guys a chance. Let the grandstand, let it begin to grow. And that, as you perfectly said there, was the moment the Curragh was born. Mm. Kevin, like the Flat Championship is very exciting. Dunica O'Brien and Colin Keane. And also the apprentices, Andy Slattery and Ushie Nor, of course, your jockey's agent. You on the phone a lot at the moment?
Yeah, Kevin. John actually asked me, who does Kevin represent before we came on? And I said, that's kind of...
Everybody!
It's trying to name every relation that you've ever had. It's like, I can't. I know, I don't have all day. Who do you represent, Kevin?
Not enough. Good
few. Oh, God.
Well, look, Andy Slattery and Ushie Nor are both of mine. So they're obviously fighting out for the apprentice title. There's one in it at the moment. Unfortunately, Ushie Nor is 2 days coming up, so suspension. So... it's very hard to say. Obviously, as you know, Johnny Oshinor struggles a bit with his weight. He's very disciplined, but 9 stone, 8 12, if we've something really fancy, but 9 stone every day he'll do. While Andy Slattery can claim off 8 4. He's had an unbelievable season. Both jockeys have had an unbelievable season. 37-36 in Andy Slattery's favour as it stands at the moment. And then obviously I have a lot of the professionals as well, and I have a lot more apprentices too. So I have a good bunch of lads. But regards Colin and Donica, it's going to be very, very tight. This is going to go right down to the wire. And obviously Donica's going to be missing some meetings now, you would have thought. Like, obviously he's gone from Tipperary on Sunday. There's probably, what, there's only 3 or 4 flat races there on Sunday. But even so, those days count. And it can be, I'll tell you what's going to be a big game changer, is the couple of Navan meetings and a couple of Leopardstown meetings coming up that are full flat cards. Aidan O'Brien always introduces some real smart back end 2-year-olds by Galileo and that. So I think those couple of days are going to be key to who wins the championship. I thought for a long time Donica would be very hard to beat, but credit to Colin Keane, he's still, what, 2 in front, I think, Johnny. So it's going to go right to the wire. And I think those 4 days, and there's 2 days at the Curragh, they're going to be crucial, because Ballydoyle could introduce a lot of nice 2-year-olds back in those days, like they normally do. And I think that's going to swing it. There's 5 very important days, full flat cards, that there's a lot of 2-year-old races in, and I think those days are going to swing it.
Just a couple of things before we go, Kevin. The Racing TV, how's that going for you? Have you had any tricky interviewees?
Tricky interviewees? I don't think so, to be fair. I love working on Racing TV. It's been brilliant. Obviously, there were some criticisms early doors, but they're working very hard, and I think the criticism has died down. And they're brilliant people to work for. I'm getting more days than I ever did. We're covering a lot of racing, and I'm just very privileged and honoured to be making a living out of what is my hobby, which is the Irish horse racing industry.
The jump season's nearly upon us. I can't wait. I'm more of a jumps than a flat man, each to their own. Give us some horses to look at for the jump season. Go on, Kevin. You must have a couple up your sleeve.
Oh, you're being hard on me, lads. all I want is Jack Kennedy and Davy Russell to stay one piece.
That's fair enough.
Them riding in there. And Navan card on Saturday. It's the first time my 2 jump jockeys have ridden on the same card for quite some time. They've been plagued by injury, more so Jack this summer. But I just hope the 2 boys have a good season. A lot of real nice horses to ride for, exciting times. God, you're putting me on the spot, John.
Come on, Kevin. Come on.
Just one Kevin that you're looking forward to seeing. It could be like, it could be the Gold Cup favourite. It could be Ken Boy or whatever.
I've got to get Slater for this now, but I was going to.
God, go on.
What am I going to call? I'm looking forward to seeing Battle Over Diane in with a fence in front of him.
That's fair.
And Delta Work. I think Delta Work could turn into a Gold Cup horse. Ground is a key to him. He didn't jump well in Leopardstown. Just got away with it in Dublin Racing Week because ground was too quick for him. But he's a proper horse, and you know, he got beaten Cheltenham. But I think he could turn into a Gold Cup horse.
It's not a bad time to have a few Cheltenham bets, because here's a few for you, Kevin.
Johnny, you're gone mad now.
Hang on a second.
Cheltenham bets back in October, the first.
Just listen to me, will you? He won't listen. It's always, you know, Kevin has to put in this. Kevin has to say that. Battle Over Dying for the JLT.
I won't disagree with you. Yeah.
Malone Road is 16-1 for the Supreme.
This is where
Malone Road, 16
second part
for
of the Yankee. That's 2.
Okay.
Delta Envoy Work is 3.
Allen, throw him in as well.
Envoy Allen for the Neptune.
Yeah.
Presenting Percy at 20-1 for the Gold Cup.
Get out of that garden.
20-1.
Get out of that garden. 20-1. Hasn't got a hope in. And I don't know, Christmas.
Stop, John. And finally, Chacon Poussoir in the Queen Mother.
That horse is a machine.
He was very, very impressive. He was as impressive a performance as I've seen over fence in a long, long time. What he done at Punchestown. Am I right saying it was only a second run over fence?
Second Irish start, anyway. I think it was
second
a second
Irish
run, yeah.
Start. He was thrown in right at the deep end into a proper grade one now. Mm. And he made them look like handicappers.
He's 6-1 for the champion chase.
Willie has not won yet.
Which is beyond bizarre, right? So,
well, if that's a turn up.
I'm not sure about Altair this year. I'm not sure how he's going to be. I'm not sure where he'll be. That horse could go off, like, presuming he progressed along the right line, 6-4, not 6-1. But as Kevin did allude to, it's a long time away.
Johnny, do you realise today is the 3rd of October?
It's actually the 4th of October for the purpose of this interview, which should be taking place on a Friday. But I do. But, you know, I do like a bit of long-term value.
Well, do you know what, lads? I give up anti-post betting
in the last
a long
5 minutes.
Time ago because they either wouldn't run or they'd get injured. So I said I'll just wait till closer to the day or on the day of the race. But no, you think you're very smart backing something at 20 to 1 or whatever, but they're not too smart if they're running the wrong race at Cheltenham or if they're running the different race. Or if they don't make it at all.
Siskin for the middle park was it.
Betting. I gave it up a long time ago.
Siskin for the middle park was a killer because he just wouldn't load into the stalls. You've backed him anti-post each way and you're just like, he had an issue in the stalls and just like, oh my God. But anyway.
Kevin, we're going to have much more of these hard luck stories over the winter. We'll look forward to seeing the track and your gent for joining us on Friday Night Racing this week.
Not at all. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to it again if you want me on sometime. Anytime. Pleasure.
Thanks, Kevin. Great sport. Kevin O'Ryan.
Great lad. Has a lot of jobs in racing. I think you listed about a third of them at the start. But what a man to work. And very, very likable character. And obviously part of that extended Crowley family in terms of Aidan O'Brien,
Francis Amory,
Trevor Horgan. Kevin, I don't know how he gets the energy. He's a young family as well, but he works his socks off, in fairness, and you can tell there he loves the game.
Okay, no change to the Tosh Irish Injured Jockeys Fund, which remains at 7,549 after Tom Malone's selection. Gustavus Weston ran down the field the Curragh last weekend behind the improving Speaking Colours. Now, this weekend, we'll see the final race in the Tote Back in Your Team series at Goran Park on Saturday, while it's Super Sunday Tipperary, a high class mixed card. Now, on the international front, we've talked about Longchamp taking centre stage for our weekend. And will that mare enable the filly attempt history when she goes for her third Prix de Loch triumph on Sunday, 3:05, the post time at Longchamp? Make sure you watch it. Johnny Ward on the Tote, because we do the Paris Mutuel and everything in France. So, are you going to pick one for the Arc?
Yeah, why not? There used to be unbelievable value on Arc Day if you backed a non-French horse, or if the Japanese came over, the Japanese would back the hell out of the likes of Deep Impact. And I remember when he ran in the race, it was won by Rail Link, who was more or less a 10-1 shot. I think he was sent off 26 or 7-1 on the Tote.
Wow.
Because the Japanese came over and they just lashed into this Deep Impact. Maybe should have won the race, but recently deceased Deep Impact, actually. And you mentioned Urban Sea and some of the horses, not only that ran in the race, but the influence they've had on the breeding side of things.
It's the European Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. And that article I mentioned in the Racing Post, it's sad that like we haven't had enough French runners in Ireland over the last few years. I thought, you know, remember when Dalakani came over and we had the horse winning the Almanzor, winning the champion stakes. Yeah. And it's always great to see. I remember some great horses down the years, but for my nap, I am going to go with Magical each way in the
12-1. Yes. Whatever it'll pay on the Tote,
it might pay okay, I think. Also, it should be noted that bookmakers aren't as kind of giving in terms of these big races each way anymore. So I was looking earlier and I couldn't find anyone laying a quarter of the odds. So if it's a fifth of the odds each way, you'd be probably better off backing with the Tote anyway. And I can't see Magical not running a big race.
So looking at the kind of racing at Goran Park on Saturday, 4:25, Grade 2 PWC Champion Steeplechase. Look, it's very difficult to say without, confirmed runners will even the meeting go ahead with the Storm Lorenzo. But the Storyteller, Jess, Snow Falcon, Peregrine Run, Duty, Ordinary World, Us and Them, York Hill, Chatted Love. We're looking forward to seeing these horses now coming out. Tipperary Sunday Mixed Card, Group 3 Concord Stakes. Quizzicals in this one. The one that Tony McCoy won on in that champion race. The race in aid of Pat Smullen and Cancer Trials. The highly rated Imogene, the course and distance winner, Waiting for the Day. There are also entries in that one. We also got a few Grade 3, jumps races. The Joe McNovice Hurdle, Turnpike Trip, Rip's Dream, Winner Takes All. And then we got Bally O'Sheen, David's Charm, in the Horse and Jockey Hotel Hurdle. Moon Over Germany, Robin DiCarlo declared for the Grade 3 Like a Butterfly Novice Chase. So we're beginning to see the jumps horses emerge, Johnny.
We are, yeah. And I think Gordon is kind of the first proper jumps race of the year, if that makes sense. Because, the Kerry National, as much as it's run in what, early to mid-September. To me, that's still summer racing. Even the racing this week, to me, is still pretty much summer racing, what we had in Clonmel on Thursday. This scoring into Tipperary, this to me is the start of the jump season. And you have the likes of Shattered Love coming out. Eddie O'Leary said she will need the run. Fine big mare, but she might still be good enough to win it. The race you mentioned on Sunday, the Concord Stakes, Yulon Goldfairy is interesting. Won the race last year for Dermot Well, switched to Jim Bulger, which is a real left field thing. I don't know what happened there, but will absolutely love the ground, and I think she'll go very well.
Antipost bets, just before we go, your biggest ever touch on an Antipost? Just to kind of give punters that do like Antipost some reason to believe that it's not presenting Percy that you're going to put in this Yankee.
That would have to be Sam Crow when he won the Neptune, but I had him backed. Win, I had him backed in doubles, I had him backed in with Lorena, ended up getting great prices on them. I backed Sublimity for the
Champion Hurdle 2007.
But I'd only a tenner each way at 60-1. So
it's not bad though.
It's not bad, but at the same time, you know, when you were on about, I remember tipping it in the paper, and I mean, if you're a tipster in a paper, you should be having more than a tenner on a bloody horse that you fancy. So I don't know what happened there, but anyway, that was great. Obviously, you have an awful lot of duds and hard luck stories, but no, like, don't be afraid to do your little Antipost. When non-runner no bet comes in, it's a brilliant incentive, I think.
Also, if you're like, it's like a golfer, if you're following a golf tournament or something on a Thursday, and then on the Sunday your guy's still in contention, it's great fun, it's an investment for the few days. So like,
it snowballs kind of.
If you've got a horse, if you got, say, like, I don't know, you do a lucky 63 with six horses for Cheltenham next year, and four of them are still in the running at big prices come February, then that's, you know, you can lay it off, you can cash it out. I backed Turpin Green at 100-1 each way for the Gold Cup in 07, he was third each way. So yeah, it can be done, but I just think it's not a bad thing. Very small stakes, very small money to have a bit of an interest. And now is the time, folks, as well, to be putting horses in kind of, you know, horse alerts and also saving horses, because this is the time to be buying the books, to be doing your research and not getting caught coming up to December and realising what's happened the last 2 months, because you do like lose out in your form, bank in your mind.
Well, say the other one there. So I mentioned Malone Road, Kevin mentioned Envoy LN, right? If you're going to extrapolate some kind of theory on this, they're probably not going to run in the same race as Cheltenham, because they're trained by the same guy. Now, they might, but I don't.
Owned by the same owners.
It's very, very unlikely, right? So Cheveley Park, I wouldn't quite fancy a couple of winners at Cheltenham. So which of them will run in that race and which of them will run in the other? And I think you can make a reasonable judgment that Malone Road will run in the Supreme because he's a pacier horse, and Envoy LM will run in the Neptune, if not the Albert Bartlett, but I would say it will be the Neptune. So you could be getting 16-1 on one and 12-1 on the other already. So that's like, what are we talking, 200-1 on two horses that could be hot favourites on the day. So I would always say, have the bet that'll change your life rather than the bet that'll change your day. Do you know what I mean? So you could scoop £1 million if it all comes off. You probably won't, but it's something to dream for.
You'll have a bit of fun doing it, and probably a better chance than the lotto. Johnny, thanks so much for this week.
Not at all, JD. Enjoy the weekend. No, what was that drink again? Rum Baba.
Well, maybe this weekend. Maybe I'll do it again.
Is there a good Rum Baba in Dublin?
I haven't discovered, but I bet you I will by the time we get to Christmas. So Friday Night Racing and Off the Ball brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again next Friday. Thank you.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.